1.
But I'm working out. I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Fern Lundquist joins me.
To
Hall of
Famer
Jim Calhoun, NASCAR icon Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Valentine's Day. You're getting yourself the second episode of the Air Tourist Pod here on a Wednesday. Listen, we got news on Wednesday that I think is absolutely worth discussing. Ohio State, which I believe is a sleeping giant in college hoops, they fired their head coach, Chris Holt. Now, we could have waited till Friday's show to do it, but the bottom line is the world moves so fast. We talked about it after the Gonzaga-Kentucky game on Saturday. Rather than waiting till Friday's show to react to this, it just feels like the way the world works, let's react now. We don't have to spend 45 minutes on it. We'll spend 15 minutes. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about what kind of job it is, because I obviously think it's a very good job. We'll talk about the candidates, and we'll get out of here. We'll discuss it. We'll debate it. We'll conversate, and guess what? We'll still do our normal show on Friday, but it just feels like when news breaks on Wednesday morning, waiting till Friday in this world, in this news cycle, just can't wait that long. So what we're going to do, take a quick break. Word from our partners. We're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Ohio State coaching job that is now available, why I believe it's a great job, who are the candidates, fun conversation. That's all next. All right, everybody, I'm back. Gonna be back. I do want to switch gears. Want to go ahead and talk about the big news out of college hoops on Wednesday afternoon, as the Ohio State Buckeyes are looking for a new head coach. Chris Holtman, been there since 2017. You know, the summer of 2017 replaced Thad Matta. He was let go. Would argue this is obviously the biggest job that has opened. I think it'll be one of the bigger jobs that does open, because bluntly, Ohio State basketball is probably a better job than it's given credit for. So the question becomes, why did it happen? What kind of job is it? Who's next? Let's go ahead and dive into all the juicy stuff. First of all, in terms of why it happened, Chris Holtman's a good guy. I wouldn't say I know him well, but we've had conversations. Good guy, respected, people like him, this, that, the other thing. But at the end of the day, this is a results-based business, and his results simply weren't good enough, and certainly weren't good enough as of late. Now, it's interesting. He did take over for Thad Matta. Things were not great when Thad Matta left for health reasons. But at the same time, to his credit, things started out well. First five seasons, there were four NCAA tournaments plus the 2020 season that was canceled because of COVID. Would have been 5 for 5. But what's also worth noting is that he never made it beyond the first weekend. And you could sit there and say, well, it's Ohio State. No. You know, Thad Matta, he went to 5 Sweet 16s during his time there, including 2 trips to the Final Four at Ohio State. It can be done. It's that kind of job with that kind of resources, those kind of facilities, those kind of players that you can get. And so when you look at Chris Holtman, it was the combination of you replaced a guy who was really successful. You didn't maintain or exceed that level of success. And then there's no other way to put it. The last couple of years have not been good. And maybe even more importantly, it's continued just a trend of one disappointment after another, after another. You go ahead and look at the last couple weeks, okay? Or last couple years, excuse me. First of all, you can even go back like 4, 5, 6 years. I remember the season of 2019-2020 when the tournament was canceled because of COVID. Ohio State got up to like, they got up to number one in the country. And I remember in late December, they actually played Kentucky and Vegas when both teams were ranked in the top 10. Ohio State was ranked in the top 5. I bring it up because Ohio State finished the year 21-10, 11-9 that season after starting 9-0 and getting to number one in the country. They were 11-1 when they beat Kentucky in that game. And so that was kind of the trend with Chris Holtman. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. You start out hot, but you struggle from there. Last year, started 10-3, finished 16-19. Many Ohio State fans wanted him gone after last year. They bring him back, give him another chance. He starts 12-2. But I'm here to tell you, even Ohio State fans, even when things were going good, I don't really feel like ever truly believed that this was going to be the guy that got them back on track, and they were proven right. 14-11 right now as he gets fired, and more importantly, they are struggling second to last in the Big Ten right now as they sit at 4-10 in the Big Ten standings overall. Only Michigan, who we may have to have another one of these emergency videos here soon. Only Michigan was worse. Okay. So it was not good. But I will say this. Chris Holtmann's out. I wish him luck. He's going to get paid a lot of money to not coach Ohio State. So I think there's two quick things before we get into the job itself and then the candidates. One, do you think it's interesting? The AD who did the firing is not the one that's going to do the hiring. You don't see that very often. But Gene Smith, who's been at Ohio State forever, I mean, he's been there for a long time. He announced that he is retiring, and it's already been official that Ross Bjork, who is at Texas A&M, is replacing him. Why do I bring it up? It's because the guy who hired Chris Holtmann, Gene Smith, also fired him on Wednesday. But it's going to be Ross Bjork that ends up ultimately making the hire here over the next couple weeks. So the bottom line remains that it's going to be a different AD. We don't really know what the plans are. Ross Bjork obviously just hired Mike Elko, the football coach at Texas A&M. But the other thing that's worth noting, Ohio State is paying $14 million in buyout money, okay? And so I think when you factor in that buyout money with the buyout money that would be owed for certain candidates, I do think it is actually going to limit two or three guys that Ohio State might be interested in. Now, in the inverse, let me also say this. Ohio State is a monster job, and they are going to have an amazing list of candidates who are not only they're interested in, but also vice versa, that are going to be interested in being the Ohio State head coach. Because at the end of the day, with Ohio State, just because they haven't been successful the last couple of years, don't let it fool you. That is an elite job, and it's an especially elite job in the NIL portal world that we live in now. Listen, we can argue it, we can fight it, but what everything comes down to in the next generation, what everything comes down to, do you have the money in NIL to get the players that you want and that you need if you really want to compete at the highest levels? Now, yes, every once in a while you'll have a one-off like a Florida Atlantic or this or that. But to compete consistently at the top, to compete where Ohio State wants to be, you need the money. And here's the good news. We know Ohio State got the money. That's not even just my opinion. Just look at what Ohio State has done the last couple of weeks on the football side. Retained a bunch of star players who could have gone pro. Denzel Burke, JT Tuimoloau, Emeka Buka, Travion Henderson, you go on and on down the list. Brought in Will Howard from the portal. Brought in Quinshon Judkins from the portal. Brought in Caleb Dowse from the portal. Brought in Julian Sand from the portal. And then, oh, by the way, well, we thought they were done. They go get a sitting head coach from UCLA to be their offensive coordinator. Now, I know Chip was on the way out. I know it was getting ugly. We've talked about it plenty. But that is still a monster move, and it shows, like, if there's something the Ohio State coach wants, it doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, wrestling, women's basketball, women's sports, men's sports, that coach can get it if the administration believes that he or she is the right person leading the program. So because of it, I think the candidate pool is going to be insane. Let's go ahead and dive in some of the big names that I think are legitimate candidates. The first one, the guy that I would call first, Sean Miller at Xavier. And I think anybody who has been a longtime listener to this show knows that I know Coach Miller pretty well. Okay, I like him. We've had him on the show. Have not talked to him about this job or anything else. But what I will tell you, you know, as part of my job, you're always kind of keeping your ear to the ground. What can you hear? What can you this? What can you that? And I started hearing about 3-4 weeks ago that he could be interested in other opportunities outside of Xavier. Now, look, Xavier is a good job historically, but I will say in the Big East, in the NIL portal world, that job has just gotten tougher even since Sean Miller took it 2 years ago. The NIL world has changed. It's all about collectives. It's all about money. It's all about raising funds. And you're talking about a small Catholic school in a pro sports city. They're not even the biggest college program in their own city. University of Cincinnati is. That's no disrespect, but Cincinnati has 50,000 undergrads. Xavier has 6,000 undergrads, maybe closer to 7, but you get the point. And so you can get the money, but is it going to be enough to really compete at the highest levels, even in the Big East? Because think about the Big East. Creighton, Omaha, NBA Arena, no pro sports. Marquette, yes, there's pro sports, but they at least play in an NBA arena and they get 16, 17,000 every night. Providence, no pro sports. They run that town. UConn, it speaks for itself. Even St. John's with Patino, the money. Like, I'm not saying that Xavier's some poverty program. I just think it's gotten harder now that NIL and collectives run everything. So I've heard Sean Miller is at least open to the idea of the right job considering leaving. And I'm here to tell you, man, if Ohio State could get him, Ohio State would win big and immediately. Because the one thing about Sean Miller, listen, the guy is a monster, but the guy has proven when you give him the same resources as anyone in the sport, oh, he's going to win big. Now, people say, oh, he never made a Final Four at Arizona. Okay, well, guess what? He made 3 Elite Eights and 5 Sweet 16s, okay? I was at one of those Elite Eight games. They lost in overtime to Wisconsin in a game that was a one-possession game for about the final 10 minutes of the game. Could have gone the other way. By the way, lost to Kemba and UConn in the final eight, Elite Eight. One-point game. Could have gone the other way. So don't tell me that, oh, my God, he was this close 2 or 3 times, okay? And you put him at Ohio State, he's a Midwest guy, I think he would crush. Crushed Arizona, made a Sweet 16 at Xavier last year. That's worth noting as well. And I think the other thing too, you know, he could obviously get the players that are needed. But I also think because of how it ended at Arizona, I still think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think sometimes you get some of these older guys, and Sean's not by any stretch of the imagination like super old, but you get some guys that have had success, that have made some money. I do think that sometimes I'm not as keen on that, but you look at Sean, he's still 55 years old, excuse me. So you think he's got at minimum 10, 12 good years left. But then two, with the way things ended at Arizona, I think he's still got a major, major, major chip on his shoulder. He would be my number one call. My understanding, his buyout is manageable. Now, it's tough to know for sure. This is, it's a private school, so who's really to say? Sean would be my number one call, though. After Sean Miller, a couple names that I think are interesting. One, Lamont Paris at South Carolina, okay? So we are recording before the South Carolina-Auburn game. We will see how that goes. But Lamont Paris is probably your national coach of the year right now, okay? This is a guy at South Carolina, okay? That is a tough place to win. I'm sorry, South Carolina fans, don't be offended, but it is. You know, South Carolina, as we record, you understand that they are ranked right now. They are currently ranked 11th in the country. They're 21-3, only losses at Clemson, at Alabama, and against Georgia. So basically have one bad loss all year. By the way, they won against Tennessee on the road. They beat Kentucky at home. This is a monster team. Beyond that, Lamont Paris does have ties to the area. He's from Ohio. He played college basketball in Ohio. And it is worth noting, Big Ten ties because he was a longtime assistant at Wisconsin. Think he would bring back some of that pride to that program, that toughness to the program. They're going to defend and they're going to play their butts off. The only thing I will say, I've heard that the powers that be that are going to make this hire, not just Ross Bjork, but also, you know, the money people that are going to be funding both Chris Holtmann's buyout and the new hire, they want a good product. They want a good product, but they want a fun product to watch. Okay. They don't, you know, and that's my only concern with Lamont Paris. They play slow. They're low scoring. They do win, though, which I do think is very important in this hire. But is it the most aesthetically pleasing style? I don't know. But I think, listen, if you can win in year two at South Carolina, you can win pretty much anywhere. Keep it going. I think a very interesting name is a guy who almost got the job last time, and that's Greg McDermott at Creighton, okay? As I said, this is a completely different job than the last time it opened. And because of it, I think Greg McDermott is at least interested this time around. First off, he's a little younger than I thought. Like, I thought Greg McDermott, he's been at Creighton so long, I figured he must be mid to late 60s. Guy's 59 years old. He got the Creighton job when he was like 44. So he's been around a minute. Credit to him. He's built them into a winner, made the Elite Eight last year. And you know, a couple things stand out. One, I've heard he's more willing to consider leaving. But then also, and I think this is important as well, Creighton's going to lose a lot off this year's team. So last year they make the Elite Eight. This year, they really brought back 2 or 3 guys that they weren't necessarily expecting. Baylor Shireman could have gone pro last year, had a bonus year, COVID year, said, you know what, I'm from Nebraska, I'm making good NIL, let me come back. Ryan Kalkbrenner and Trey Alexander, 2 guys that are probably going to be in the NBA, both could have been second round picks. I'm sure NIL was a factor, decided to come back. Add Steve Ashworth, a grad transfer. All those guys could potentially be gone this year. And I was thinking about Creighton the other day in the bigger picture of like, what is this program a year from now without considering that Mac could potentially be a candidate at a place like Ohio State? My understanding is he's interested. My understanding is his buyout makes sense. It's affordable. I think he's a legitimate candidate at Ohio State, and he does play that kind of up-tempo spacing ball movement system that people like. Really quickly, one name that I've actually heard over the last couple weeks to keep an eye on. Not the sexiest name if you're not a college basketball junkie, but Nico Medved at Colorado State. I know for certain that at the very least, Ohio State, the people that will be making this hire, have at least started doing a little bit of background just to kind of get a feel for who this guy is. But for people who don't watch Colorado State, fun style, they play fast, they're aggressive, and they're winning. Made the tournament 2 years ago as a six seed as an at-large. This year, they're sitting at 19-5 overall. Now, admittedly, they did get bumped pretty good on the other night at San Diego State. They got beat up pretty good, but they're currently 19-6. I think I said 19-5. And they're going to make the NCAA tournament. They're trending as an at-large candidate. They beat Creighton, ironically enough, earlier in the year. They got into about the top 10, top 12 nationally. And again, they play that fun style that I think Ohio State fans would really like. Worth noting, by the way, Nico Medved has Midwest ties. He is from the state of Minnesota, went to the University of Minnesota. I think Minnesota was interested in him the last time they had a job opening. He was not really interested in reciprocating going to back to his alma mater. But he's from Minneapolis, went to Minnesota, coached at Drake, which is in the Big Ten footprint. I think he makes a lot of sense. And like Greg McDermott, he's losing most of a very good roster after this year. Now, he strikes me as the kind of guy, listen, if it comes down to it, if it comes down to coming back, I think he's happy at Colorado State, but I think he'd at least consider it. But I do think he is probably a second-tier type candidate. A couple names that I do not think are a factor. One that I think would be the number one choice if the opportunity presented itself, but it's not going to. It's my boy, Big Mick Energy, Mick Cronin. Listen, Mick Cronin's a great coach, okay? He's turned around UCLA yet again after they struggled early. And my understanding is he wants to get back to the Midwest. I believe if his contract wasn't the way it was, that he would potentially be the number one candidate at Louisville and the number one candidate at Ohio State, and he could essentially pick either of those two jobs. The problem is he has a contract with UCLA where his buyout is $16 million after this season. So respectfully, Ohio State's got money. They don't have money to pay $30 million in buyout money, $14 to Chris Holtman, $16 to Mick Cronin. It's just not going to happen. I do wonder, I was thinking about Mick Cronin, my buddy, the other day, or I was thinking about him when this job opened. And when I say he's my buddy, I don't really mean it like that. But I was thinking, I wonder if he had to do that contract over, because I'm sure when he signed it, it was like, yeah, you're going to pay me money that's going to set me up for the rest of my life, but I'm going to have a buyout that's going to keep me from going anywhere. I'm sure at the time he signed it, it sounded great. Now UCLA's headed to the Big Ten. It's an NIL portal world more than it's ever been. UCLA historically has had trouble getting kids in through the portal. UCLA just doesn't operate. Like, UCLA is just not the kind of place that you can bring in 7, 8, 9, 10 guys through the portal every offseason. So I think he would be a candidate, but I just don't think his buyout is going to allow it. And it's the same with Nate Oates. Listen, I know what people are going to say. Torres, you said 2 days ago Nate Oates could be a candidate if Calipari ever left Kentucky. Well, under the assumption that Calipari leaves Kentucky, they are not firing him and paying him his full buyout. And so under that assumption, if Calipari just says, enough, I'm retiring, I'm stepping aside, then yeah, Nate Oates could be, because you could afford the $10 million buyout that he is owed after this season if you don't pay another buyout. But when you're paying Chris Holtman $12, $13, $14 million, just not very realistic. And so at the end of the day, I just don't think he's really a candidate. I don't think Nate Oates is a candidate. By the way, a couple other names. Jay Wright's not coming back for Ohio State. I think Jay Wright, maybe the bluest of all blue bloods, maybe if Kentucky opened, maybe if Carolina opened, if Duke opened in like the next year, maybe Jay Wright would consider. But the only college job I could really see him coming back for would be if Villanova really flatlines. I don't think Billy Donovan, I don't think Billy Donovan's in a rush to get back to college basketball. I think the only job he'd probably seriously consider is Kentucky. He's got ties there, this, that, the other thing. And that's really it. If I had to guess, I do think Sean Miller's a legitimate player there. The four names I mentioned, if you include Nico Medved, My guess is it comes from one of those four guys. Sean Miller, Sean Miller, Greg McDermott. I was thinking of Chris Mack for some reason. Sean Miller, Greg McDermott, Nico Medved, or Lamont Paris. My guess is it comes from one of those four guys. All right, I think that's it for this bonus episode of the Aaron Torres Pod. Like I said, just figured we'd get something out here. You know how the news cycle operates. By Friday, we're on to the next big thing, whatever is going on. And so it just felt like a good time to just, you know what, let's get some stuff out. Let's talk it out. And let's do our darn thing. We'll get back to a normal episode on Friday. If you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. We went live on Tuesday night. Got a great turnout. Appreciate everybody's support. Make sure to turn on those notifications. By the way, some big things coming from March Madness, so make sure to pay attention. Make sure you're following on social as well, at @Aaron_Torres on Twitter, at @AaronTorresPod on Instagram, AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. Should mention, shout out to Torrent Craig. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. By the way, this is where I should mention. Met Rachel, who hates my voice, at that Ohio State-Kentucky game in Vegas in 2019. So thank you for your support, Rachel, even though you hate my voice. Shout out to Torrent Craig. Shout out to Rachel. Shout out to JJ Redick. Unblock me, bro. I'll be back on Friday. Normal episode, Aaron Torres Pod. Everybody have a good Friday.